Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Good. You should say it twice because I wasn't here last week. I apologize for not being here last week. That was one tough call for us. Living where we live and driving what we drive. I guess Frank put it best. He called me Sunday afternoon, was talking to me a little bit, and he said, you know, when you're down in the trees looking up, that's a hard way to, you can't change your mind. In other words, if you slide off 77 or somewhere like that in a vehicle, then you can't change your mind once you've done that. But nevertheless, thank you, Wyatt, for filling in, and I'm sure you guys got a blessing from that. But we're back here in Psalm 19 today. We'll read the psalm again, and we got a little something extra to go along with it today, and then the message that we have here. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His goings forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We started 2 weeks ago we were talking about the character of the Word, which is found in verses 7 through 9, and we're going to spend a little bit of time here in defining the Word, the names of the Word of God found here in these verses, and dig into it a little bit. We're going to talk about some different things. We talked about that a little bit, but before we get started, we're going to review over the law of the Lord. That's number one, because we just started on that 2 weeks ago. But are you ready, Wyatt? So I mentioned 2 weeks ago that I had found a song about this, and I got run it by a pastor. He was fine with it. I didn't think he would have any problem with it, but we got it set up. So just think about the verses 7 through 9, and if you've never heard this, every time you read it from now on, this song will come to your mind. It's something that I learned way back in the early 90s, and it was a blessing. It's been a blessing to me, and I just found it recently. Just let it be a blessing to you. It'd be a little something different here for us that we haven't done before, but listen, let the Lord speak to your heart. Go ahead, Wyatt.
Mm-hmm. much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than
of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than
Raise your hand. How many of you have ever heard that in a song before like that? Good many. Good many not. Yeah. So there you go. Now that'll stick in your heads. If you haven't heard it before, it will help you, because the book of Psalms, we talked about this before, is a psalm is a song, so to speak. Many of the psalms themselves were sung by the Jewish people. And now, we don't have all of them, but every now and then you'll run across something like that, and it goes together. And every time you read Psalm 19 now, something like that should pick up in your head and help you to remember it. But I thought about the chorus there, which we'll get to that. That's further, a little bit further down the road here, but as I was just sitting there listening, verse 11, more over by them as I, verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. More to be desired. And I'm just briefly getting ahead of myself, but what do we desire? What are our desires? At the bottom of that, verse 10 is at the bottom of the page in my Bible here, and I wrote, and I don't know when I wrote it, but there's, at the bottom I wrote here, desire God's word more than anything. And folks, that would fix a multitude of our problems.
Yes.
If our desires were towards the Word of God. And I said our desires, not just yours, mine. Think of the things that we desire in this life and what we want. You know, anybody ever ask you, what would you do? What would you want to do if you could do whatever you want? In other words, what desires? What kind of desires do you have? You know, and I've had that question asked to me before, and I'm not pretty sure I didn't give the right answer, preacher. Pretty sure I didn't give the right answer. But nonetheless, back to the message there. I hope you enjoy that. It's a blessing to you. Verse 7, we started talking here about the character of the Word. And as we look into these, we said that each name of the Word of God here has an attribute to it. We'll look at the name and then the attribute. There's a nurture in the Word. That's the name. And a nature of the Word. That's the law. There's going to be an attribute to each one of them. And then there's also going to be nutrition with each one of them. Three things in each one of these phrases here in the verses, so to speak. To give you an example, for the first one, the law of the Lord, the law, that's the nature of the Word. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's the attribute to it. And then the nutrition we get from it is found in the second part here, the third part, converting the soul. There's three parts to each one of them phrases throughout here. And I am not an English major. I barely speak the English language well. But I'm sure somebody could break down the sentences there and give you all that. But we're not going to get into that. I've never thought that was... I'm sure there's some importance to that, but you're not going to get that out of me here. But nonetheless, we started 2 weeks ago talking about this. We said that it started... The first one is first for a reason. It says the law of the Lord is perfect. It sets the tone for the rest of them. There should be no question in our mind about the Word of God. I don't believe any of you here have a question about the Word of God, but it's just part of the teaching here, and we should not have it. Maybe the younger ones, I when I say something like that, that no one, I don't think anyone has any problem with it. I'm reminded that there's young people here. There's young people coming up, and those young people, there's some of them in my family, there's others around here, you've been here for years, but you might have just been here. You might have just been riding along, and maybe you don't have all this nailed down. Maybe it's just babbling words that you've heard over and over for years, and you haven't really committed yourself to know these things. But you need to know that the Word of God is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. And when you start out these names with it being perfect, that settles it for the rest of them as well. And God's Word is not out of order. It is in order. It's amazing that the Lord put this together the way he did. Yes, David pinned it down, but it is part of the Word of God. I believe it was inspired. I believe it as the inspired Word of God. But to put that first, I mean, he could have said that he could have said the statutes of the Lord are right. And that would have been okay too. But to start out with, the law of the Lord is perfect. Sets the tone for 7, 8, and 9, even verses following that. It sets the tone here for them. It's perfect. The law of the Lord here, the law means a precept or a statute especially the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. We already said this, but just briefly go over it. Psalm 119 and 7 and 72 says, "The law of my mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." We need to know that the law of the Lord is perfect, and we need to have it nailed down, just like David did, to say, you know what? It's perfect. All the silver and the gold doesn't matter. The law of the Lord is perfect. The finances doesn't matter there. In 119 and 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Lord will lighten our way, and he will show us a perfect way if we'll follow him and his word. We're not going to go back there, but Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 and the surrounding verses there, talking about how that Moses gave the law and how it was to be obeyed. The attribute to the law is the word perfect. Perfect means integrity, truth, without blemish, complete, full, perfect, sincerely, sound, without spot, undefiled, upright, and whole. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. We have the perfect word of God. Amen. Psalm 18 and verse 30, just across the page there, that we had several weeks ago, it says here, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." Yes, that's a great verse talking about how that he is a buckler for us and that we can trust in him and all that. But the beginning of the verse says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried." It's tried. It's been tried. It's tested. It's perfect. It's nothing like getting something that's been tried and tested and perfect. You don't have to worry about it. There's few to things in this world that you're ever going to find that's perfect and that have been tried and tested. But the one thing you hold in your laps today is the old King James Bible, which is tried, true, and perfect. Amen. We saw the nature, that was the law, and then we saw the attribute, which is perfect. And then we didn't get to this part 2 weeks ago, and that's the nutrition that is found in it. And that is found right here where it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." It does something. It converts the soul. It says converting the soul. That word there means to convert, means to restore, rescue, or retrieve. And the Lord certainly can restore, rescue, or retrieve a soul. He can convert the soul. We can't convert the soul. You and I can't go out here and browbeat people into becoming a Christian. I know a lot's been said over the last couple of weeks about Jeff and your dealings with him, and bless your heart for spending that time with him. And it seems as though things are kind of taking a turn, not for the best maybe here, but who knows? The Lord knows. And you haven't tried to do this. I know you haven't, because in 2 years' time, you could have browbeated him into becoming a Christian. You could have cookie-cuttered him, but you didn't. And that's good. It shows much patience on your part when you work with somebody that long and they just don't seem to get it. But you can't convert Jeff's soul, but God can convert a soul. And he knows what's going on, and he will lead you in the right direction there, I'm sure. But the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What does it do? It converts the soul. On June the 28th, 1985, the law of the Lord converted my soul. Pastor Cobins, who was here pastoring this church at that time, he wasn't preaching the night I got saved. Jim Pruitt was, Evangelist Jim Pruitt. But Jim Pruitt didn't save my soul. Pastor Cobins didn't save my soul. We spent time here at this altar, and there was things said and prayers, and, you know, I spent time examining my heart, as the Bible says, because there was a time in my life where there was doubt about it. I knew what had happened, but sometimes the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of some will cause you to doubt. I was one that did that. And what it did, it drove me to the point where I had to look in the Word of God and I had to examine my heart. The Bible in the New Testament tells us to examine ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I examined myself and my salvation, because many, many times I heard in my mind, you didn't say the right words. You didn't do the right thing. You didn't do it like that evangelist did. You didn't do it like that preacher did. You didn't. And the Lord finally gave me peace that the fifth row back over on that side behind Sister Wilson is where I knew that after several times, not one time of hearing the Word of God, but of several times of hearing the Word of God and holding on to the back of that pew with a death grip, because the conviction of the Holy Spirit that was upon me, and several times I left go and went left, but I come back for another service. And several times, and over circumstances that had happened in my life, things that drawed me to the Lord, over that period of time, 30 plus days probably, went back before that, of things that happened that woke me up. And then the word of God, the law of the Lord being sowed in my heart and watered, that on that Friday night, the death grip left go, not to go back out the door and never come back again, but to step out and to step forward. And Bridget, we've talked about this. It wasn't words I said here. It wasn't anything you done, but you were the servant of the Lord doing what you were supposed to do. But when I let go, because I knew my life would never be the same if I come this way as opposed to going that way. And what happened? The law of the Lord converted my soul. The question I have is, has the law of the Lord converted your soul? Oh, I was, you know, I grew up in it. I didn't grow up here, but I grew up in religion, and I was a good person, but I wasn't a converted person. My soul had not been converted, and the Lord did the converting that day. Pastor Cobins didn't do the converting. Brother Jim Pruitt, the priest, was faithful to preach the Word of God, did not convert my soul. I can't tell you what he said that day. There's a lot of people that can tell you what the message was that day, And there's nothing wrong with that. If you can, that's great. But I can't tell you what he did, what he said. I don't know. We could probably dig back in archives and find out. That doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, the Word of God got a hold of my soul, got a hold of my attention, and showed me my need to be converted. And that's not all in the notes. But as I talk about the law of the Lord being perfect and converting the soul, the nutrition that we get out of that, converting the soul, that's what it does, folks. It converts the soul. I said it means restore, rescue, or retrieve. Turn over a page or two to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, famous psalm, of course. Psalm 23, I want to get to verse 3, but we'll just start with 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here it is. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his sake. The same word back there in Psalm 19, verse 7, that same word is used over here for restore. The convert is the same word as restore here. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Have you been converted? Have you been restored here? The Lord, there's restoration, there's restoring, there's converting of the soul from the natural man, the sinful man, to a saved man. But there's also restoration for those that are already saved. Turn over again, another famous one is Psalm 51. We know here, Psalm 51, David repenting of his sin there, the sin that of the killing of Uriah, the adulterous affair, all that, come down to Psalm 51 when he said here in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. There's restoration for the saint as well as the sinner. If you look down in verses 10 here, for sake of time, you could read the other verses as well, but down to verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We see here, verse 12, I'm sorry. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We see the same word used there again, restore, convert. And the Lord can, the word, the law of the Lord can bring that joy back to your heart. If you've sinned, done wrong, and got away from the Lord, he can restore you and restore your joy there as well. Back to Psalm 19. Actually, there's one more place I want to turn, I'm sorry. I've got multitude of notes written upon notes here. Turn over to Psalm 85. Psalm 85 and verse 4 through 7. Don't want to miss these. Let's start in verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land and hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven, Psalm 85, verse 1, verse 2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger, cause thine anger towards us to cease? Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine own anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Back in verse 4, the first two words there, turn us, are the same Hebrew word used back in Psalm 19 for convert. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. There is converting all through the Word of God. Amen. And we see here back in Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The second name that we see here is the testimony of the Lord, found in verse 7. And it says here, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 93 and verse 5 says, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. It says there, they're very sure. It says back in Psalm 19, the testimony of the Lord is sure. And it adds to it back or over in Psalm 93, where it says in verse 5, it says they are very sure. The word sure means to build up or support, to foster as a parent or a nurse. Very sure, being built up, the word of God, the testimonies of the Lord, they're very sure. It's not something that we have to question, folks. Every now and then you'll get somebody, you'll talk to somebody, and they might give you a testimony that's not so sure. I know that, Pastor, we've been dealing on Wednesday nights through Romans and talking about things there and talking about people witnessing to people. And one thing that he has been teaching us is that we need to talk to people and find out their testimony. If they'd say, well, I've done that, then we need to say, well, tell me about it. And that tell me about it is give me your testimony. If I tell you I've done that and you ask me, then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you back to what I just said a while ago. And I'm going to give you something about that story, that testimony of mine. That's mine. That's something else I learned in examining myself. Is, Tracy, you're... We all get saved the same way, but we're not all, our testimonies are not all the same. I don't know how better to say that. We could, yeah, we could bring six guys up. We could just pick six guys up through here, and I'd say, I'll give you 5 minutes, give me your testimony. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, and you come up through here. We should all have the same common bond in our testimony of the Lord and that he saved us. But the story behind it might be a little bit different, but they all should be sure. The testimonies of the Lord here are sure. We don't have to question the testimonies of the Lord. The testimonies here is talking about the testimonies of the Word of God. If we ever do get to Psalm 119, you're going to see those names over and over and over again. I started that years ago in the teen boys class. I started doing on kind of a little bit of a rotation thing, but I started doing teaching Psalm 119 because we were memorizing it in sections. And if you don't know this, Psalm 119, every verse in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Word of God, has a word in every verse that has to do with the Word of God. It might be testimonies. It might be statutes. Some of them are listed right here. It might be the law, something like that. As we go through these names here, you're going to see me. We're going to go to Psalm 119 a lot to back up what we're saying here. But I'm kind of bringing in you and I's testimony just to compare to the Word of God. His testimonies are sure. Some people you talk to, their testimony might not be so sure, but ours should be. But if we go back to the Word of God, that testimony is very sure. Psalm 111, verse 7 said, "The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness." That's the attribute to the testimony is the word sure there. It says the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's very sure. And then the nutrition that's found in that, we'll give you that and we'll be done here this morning, is found where it says here that it making wise the simple. Making wise here, if you look that up in Strong's, it means to be wise in mind, word, and action. In 2 Timothy 3:15, part of that verse talks about making, Paul speaking to Timothy there, how that he was made wise unto salvation. Let's look at a couple verses and we'll be done here. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 130. Psalm 119 and 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." A couple pages over to Proverbs chapter 1. Talk about wisdom, the book of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know the wisdom, instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction, wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. The nutrition that's found in that word there is to make wise. Chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And just flip back to Psalm 19 and we'll read that verse one more time. So we've looked at two of the names of the Word of God here, and they're both found here in verse 7. And that is, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You see what it does there. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And that is true. There's many in this world that have great knowledge, great education, but yet they miss it. I'm glad that the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord is sure, and I'm glad that it makes wise the simple. I was pretty much just a simple man, just a simple young man. according to status in this world. But I'm glad that the Lord, the word of the Lord made me wise. His testimonies. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we've had in your word. We've been a little long this morning, but we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you that it is perfect, converting the soul, and your testimonies are wise. Lord, we thank you for them. I pray that you'll bless now Pastor as he comes and give him the words to say and speak to every heart here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.